that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel,
it's gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch, a beautiful little brisky 19 degrees Radio Ranch this morning. Hey, fall is here. The cool weather has arrived. Praise the Lord. He knows what he's doing when he brings the good weather in its season. And this morning is exactly what we've got. Not a cloud in the sky, just a beautiful morning here. And we welcome you for joining us. And we'll say good morning all around. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I think we could say good morning, Kurt. I think Jason's got a guest down there. Good morning, Kurt.
And good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant out there, for joining us. We know many from sea to shining sea and all over the world join us this Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. And we know there's many that can't join us this morning, but we replay this broadcast on Monday afternoon. Well, it's Monday evening now. And we know many will join us then. And we thank you for doing that. Well, we're going to open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll just see where we go. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, first and foremost. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, for this opportunity to be here, for fellowship with like-minded Christians, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the ability to be able to have fellowship with your people all over, Lord, through the broadcast, through the internet, through the shortwave, through the phone lines. We thank you for that, Lord. Help us to let it be a time of encouragement to one another, Lord, not a time of reporting on just the doom and gloom of the day, but, Lord, on encouraging one another to love and good deeds, Lord, to edifying the saints and to being encouraged. And, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to do that. We pray for your Holy Spirit to join us here. Lord, we gather in the name above all names, the name that, well, Lord, that your angel told Mary to name the child, and that name is Jesus. And it is that name that we claim salvation. It is in that name of Jesus Christ that we know we have all authority and all power, being washed in the blood, being born again, being clothed in Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. We ask you to join us, guide and direct our thoughts and our words, and again, let them be edifying to your people. Let them be an encouragement to your people, Lord, as this weekend starts. Lord, we need encouraging, and we know your people do. Father, we do all this to your glory. We do our best to glorify the Son, and we know that glorifies you in the process. We thank you for the time that you give us here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And, Remnant, it's coffee with the Wranglers. We're here. We've got our coffee. And I turned my cell phone down to vibrate so it's not chirping all morning. And we've got our Bibles. And you know where we go from there? Well, you just never know. Plenty of current events are going on. We touched base on a couple of them, from planes being bombed out of the sky overseas to Muslims are still stabbing and trying to kill Americans here on American soil. So, either way. John, where do you want to start this morning?
Well, we could talk about that flight 7K9268. It's obvious that it was a bomb. Now they're saying that there was a heat sign on the radar right before it fell out of the sky, and there's eyewitnesses that said that it was burning as it fell out of the sky. But I think the important point here is that this is just another piece of prophecy. When you go to Ezekiel 38 under the subtitle, prophecy about Gog and the future invasion of Israel. To understand this, you have to understand who Israel is, obviously, which most of the world doesn't. But anyways, and we'll read starting in verse 1, and it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshesh, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshesh, and Tubal. I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out and all of your army, horses and horsemen, all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords." I think something that I'd seen that I never saw before was, he says, "I will turn you about and put hooks in your jaw." I had always read that as hook, you know, like the Lord would put a hook in their jaw, but there's hooks. And I think Russia really didn't want to be in this war, because if you look at their past history in fighting in the Middle East, they haven't had victory. But this is just that plane crash is just another hook in the jaw. And now the people in Russia are outraged, and it's just the United Nations Antichrist accomplishing two goals, really. They're accomplishing setting up World War III, but they're also, through this turmoil, causing the fulfillment of the prophecy of the locusts of Joel, as all of these people flee into Europe and trying to get into the true Israel. You guys see
that? Well, and you know this. You know, I agree. I think that's what we're dealing with, is with these hooks. You know, I don't think that you know, Putin doesn't have any say in the matter. If God wants to use him, he's going to put a hook in his mouth and drag him wherever he wants to go. You know,
yep.
It's no coincidence, and it's not by accident that this operation that they're having is called Operation Salvation. I believe everything that's taking place over there, over here, is part of prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and if you don't believe that that's Gog, all you really have to do is keep reading verses 5 and 6, and he tells you. And it says, Persia, Ethiopia, and put with them, all of them, with shield and helmet, Gomer with all of its troops. But what was Persia, right?
Yeah, Persia, Libya, Kush, Put. It's all of those nations over there, those Eastern, Middle Eastern nations. Today, anyway, is who they are.
Right. But see, they're forming an alliance. I think one of the hooks, too, was just like I said, Russia hasn't had very good luck there in the Middle East in the past. But it appears that one of the kings of Iraq, what's his name? I can't find it. But anyways, he apparently went to Moscow and promised Putin that he would give them troops on the ground if they would use their air support and send in their elite fighting force. So there's a alliance being built right now between Iran and Russia. Well, as well as China, you can see that too.
Yeah, it is, and it's interesting how it's going to play out. I mean, it's you look at what's happening with Iran, and I mean, their first time that they've ever been allowed to go into any of these big the UN meetings that they're going to discuss the environment, they're going to discuss nuclear power plants again for Iran, and all of a sudden they're magically involved and invited to come.
Right. Well, and then you wonder why God would have this animosity towards Russia, and why, you know, the prophecy says about putting a hook in the jaw and destroying that army. I think that all goes back to Stalin, the period that Stalin killed 50 to 60 million people. And then if you look at what's going on right now, the memory of Stalin is being rehabilitated in Russia. I mean, there's several articles that I was looking at.
Not only
Stalin's resurrection. Oh, really?
Well, and here
but anyways,
as well.
Neo-Stalinism, yeah, with rehabilitation of Stalin's, will rehabilitation of Stalin split Russian society? And then they did a poll, and the majority of Russians say Stalin played a positive role. So remember that when you think you're going to trust the Russians. You know, they may seem like they're doing the work that they're doing is beneficial to the U.S. right now, but the reality is the U.S. started all of this in the first place. We armed the rebels. That's part of what the Benghazi thing was all about, the secret arming of the rebels who are just mercenaries and work for the highest bidder, and as soon as they were paid more money, the mercenaries that we armed turned and are fighting with ISIS, so, or ISIL. But the reality is nothing happens unless God lets it happen, and it's all prophecy that's being fulfilled because of our disobedience and because of our sin.
Amen.
Well, and it'd be interesting to note on who was on that plane too that was blown up.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, those are the questions that anytime you hear something like that about a mysterious plane going down, that's one of the first questions you got to ask yourself: is who was on the plane, where was the plane coming from, and where was it going to? And from what I understand, the strange thing about that whole deal was it was all Russians on that plane. There was no, yes. Which they said, they kept, when it first happened, they kept commenting on. It's like, you know, it was all Russians on there. And I guess predominantly Russians only put their higher-ups on a plane with all Russians. They preferred not to travel with anybody, with any of the other people. And so they said that there was somebody on there, but they didn't know who. And it was all Russians. And you know, as soon as it came out, too, is what's interesting is when over there, as far as Russian TV is concerned, the people that they were blaming for it immediately after it blew up is they were blaming United States for it, and they were blaming Israel for it. They said, we don't know who who did this, but we know it was either the United States that had something to do with it, or it was Israel that had something to do with it.
Wow.
Right. Well, you know, our God doesn't change, and therefore he will avenge the evil that was done by Stalin and those who faithfully supported him. And now, even this generation of Russian people are claiming allegiance to Stalin.
Yep, yep.
So, I just, it's interesting, it's significant, and if you have time, make the time and read Ezekiel 38 and 39 and take some time and read it out loud and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is that's in these verses that we're watching be fulfilled right now.
It's exciting.
Yeah, another thing that's interesting, it's kind of on a different note, but it was posted up on the Newswire this week, ran across this story, and it was France confiscates U.S. Holocaust victims. And, you know, I mean, the thing is too, is, I mean, how many lies can be built upon other lies can be built upon other lies? I mean, we're, you know, and we're privileged to be able to carry books and have an audience that knows, for the most part, they know about the Holocaust. You know, or most of them call it the Holo hoax. And, you know, which is, you know, I mean, there's just so much proof if you go out there. And if anybody starts digging on it, you know, they can, you can prove it, you know, as many ways as you want that it didn't happen. And, you know, here we got France right now that they're basically, they're turning $60 million over to the United States to compensate thousands of non-French citizens, their spouses, their descendants, who were not covered by any settlement programs before. And basically these were the ones that were shipped out of France into Germany on the trains. And, you know, so now, I mean, how many years later they're sending $60 million, basically, from what I understood, the train company that was doing this, they took a huge hit, and didn't know if they were even going to be able to stay in business after they're doing this. And, but, you know, $60 million that many years later, you know, and you look at what all these countries have done for over the Holo hoax. You know, Russia donated submarines. Germany's done stuff. I mean, it's the amount of money that they're spending today to compensate so-called Holo hoax victims is just astounding.
Yes, 75 years later. After World War II, after they say this happened, and the people it's a racket. It's an absolute racket.
Bah.
I mean, it was war, you know? I mean, first of all, it didn't happen. Why don't you guys spend a couple million dollars on, you know, putting a decent documentary together on, you know, showing the people that it didn't happen, that they were lied to, over and over and over again. I mean, it's obviously, you know, they're stealers, they're killers, and they're destroyers. And they're still stealing off of something that didn't happen 75 years ago that they claim happened. I mean, you know, and another thing about it, hey, it was war. Old saying, war is hell. It is.
Yep.
Yep. I saw a documentary this week as well about right after World War II when there was some prominent Jews that had planned to murder 6 million Germans by poisoning the water supply. And it's all been documented. You won't see it anywhere. But, I mean, this was actual footage of the people that are still alive today, or maybe at least when this documentary was made, admitting what the plan was. And then finally what they ended up doing was poisoning the bread that went into a German prison, and there wasn't enough poison to kill them, but it made several thousand sick, and it's all documented. But nobody knows that piece of history.
No, I've heard the story too, and I'd like to see the documentary. If did you watch a documentary on that?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
I'd like to watch that.
Somebody on the ministry sent that in.
Yeah, that sounds like a good one. And another, you look at all these Christians that have been persecuted over the years. They want to make. There was close to 60 million Christians that were killed over there. Around the same time. You look at the bombing of Dresden. You look at, there's a lot of these things that are, noteworthy that actually are true, actual things that happen. But when it happens to Christians, and when the Christians are the ones that persecuted, those are the ones that they like to cover up. And those are the ones that they don't like people to hear about.
Well, you understand why one of the protocols was to take over the media.
Absolutely.
Because you can see plain as day, now you won't hear nothing about Mohammed with the knife stabbing people in California anymore because it doesn't go along with their agenda. You can't even hardly find anything on the shooting in Oregon because it doesn't go along with their agenda. But the good news is some people are starting to wake up, I think. Without a revival, though, and repentance and people turning back to God, there's no way out of this thing. It's on a course for revelation, as far as I can tell. But
it is a revival that's needed. Repentance. Return to me, God says. He said it several times, all through the Old Testament, and it's the story of the New Testament as well. Repentance. Turn from your wicked ways. We see it in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it is still as valid today as it was then. He says, when my people, and who are his people? Not necessarily those that, and it's definitely not those that, that claim to be the chosen people. there's a very simple precept that we find in the Bible. And it was one that Christ taught. It's one that the disciples taught on. It's one that applied then, and it certainly applies now. And it's, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits. And you look at the fruits of this people that claim to be, as the Bible calls them, Jews. And look at the fruits of what they have brought forth. And you guys have mentioned some of them. And they are rotten fruits. You look at the demise of this nation and who it is that is putting sin in front of the eyes of our people continually. Just as they did back in the days of in the Old Testament days. Nothing new under the sun. And the John, you mentioned the California Stabber. They're calling him out in California, Merced, last past Wednesday, his name was Fasail Mohammed. And, again, you have a Muslim male.
You sure?
I'm sorry?
You sure he wasn't just building a clock?
He was smiling, he said, when he was slashing and cutting people with his knife. And he had a manifesto on him that was praising Allah and said he intended to behead his victims. But the sheriff out there says, he was kicked out of a study group, and that's why he stabbed four people. And that's why he wrote that he was hoping to attack a policeman responding and steal the policeman's gun and shoot people. This was all supposedly in his manifesto, and in it saying, praise Allah. But the sheriff says, that's not terrorism. He said, if I'd have said praise Jesus, it's just because I'm a Christian, and he's just saying it because he was a Muslim. It's absolute insanity. And the people, just like you said earlier, they just sheep along. And you know, remnant, you need to wake up. And most of the remnant is waking up. Those that that have come out of the sleep, that have awakened. But the rest of you need to wake up as well. It is war. It is a war on Christianity. It is a war from between the sons of darkness and the sons of light. And you know, we see this time and time and time again. You know, remember the shoe bomber? He was a Muslim. The Beltway snipers. Remember the Beltway snipers back around D.C.? The one guy's driving around. Homosexual.
Yeah, they were Muslim.
Homosexual Muslims. Okay? The Fort Hood shooter. Oh, you don't hear about Fort Hood too much. The Fort Hood shooter was a Muslim. The underwear bomber was a Muslim. The USS Cole bombers. The Boston Marathon bombers. It goes on
and
on.
That's just coincidence, Richard. Come on.
Yeah. And so, you know, when are the people going to wake up? And then see also that it is our United States government leaders that are wanting to bring more and more of them in. There was a, I don't know, I tried to send it to you, Jason, to put on the newswire. I don't know if it went through. I've been having some email issues. But there was a report out of Europe that, you know, they're having all these refugees, and they're bringing them into resettlement camps, and they're resettling them, and they're getting, you know, these statistics, 120,000 are in Germany, and 78,000 are going to France, and on and on and on. But there was a report this week that came out that said a lot of them are they're making it into the nation, and they're getting signed up, you know, for the refugee status and all that, and then they're disappearing. And I saw one report, it was like 7,000, I think, out of Germany. I'm not positive about that, but maybe 7,000 out of Germany that were just, they made it there, and now they can't find them. And,
yeah.
Hello? you know, and they, you, when you see the pictures, you have to kind of dig, because MSNBC and the Always Barack channel aren't showing these things. But if you dig a little bit on the internet, you can see the pictures of these people. And, you know, they're not, a lot of them aren't bringing their wives and daughters and children with them. It's Muslim.
Yeah, they're all 18 to 30-year-old Muslim males.
Muslim males, 18 and older, that are,
yeah,
that are coming through. Folks, it's an absolute invasion. Don't believe the term immigration. It's an absolute invasion that is occurring, and it's not the first time that this has happened from the Muslims.
I watched a video last night. I'm not sure exactly where it was, but the police were all kind of set up at the docks, you know, and the ship had just come in, and literally, like a mob of thousands of the so-called immigrants, all black, by the way, so I think it was from Africa or something, but anyways, they were all just swarming, and the cops just got in their vehicles and started hightailing it, and they came through, and they just were ripping down signs, slipping over garb, just destroying the place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's their plan for this country.
It is. Well, guys, we'll open up the phone lines this morning, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in this Saturday morning, November 7th, 2015, and we'll take your
I found this
comments.
This little writing here that says, "Why do we have wars?" And the little boy asks his mother, and the mother replies, "Because we are ruled by an elite group of psychopaths who own the banks that control the governments and media. They fund both sides of the war for profit, and they manufacture the consent of the public through the propaganda of the media." That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. Well, you know, some in Europe are, I don't want to say not quite fighting back yet, but they are protesting. Saw a picture, and I'm hoping to bring this on a review of the news here in the next couple weeks. But Polish football fans in Poland unfurled a big 50-foot stand and defend Christianity banner at a premier football league. You know, and of course, football to them is soccer. And basically, the big, I mean, it's huge. It takes up the whole end zone area, and it shows a type of a crusader with a helmet and a St. Andrew's cross on his front, on his with a shield and a sword, and then it shows boats coming in with these dark masses called the boats are the USS Bin Laden, the USS ISIS, and the USS Hussein, and it says stand and defend Christianity, and then the bottom of the banner says white Europe is flooded with an Islamic plague. And so there are some over there. They're not all just rolling over. You know, there's still some true Christian blood flowing. And you know, there is a war coming. That's all there is to it. There's an absolute war coming between, as we said earlier, the sons of darkness and the sons of light. The other thing that is not being reported here that is rampant, that is going on in the European nations, and that is that these Muslim bastards come in and they rape and they rape and they rape, and it is not reported. It is not reported. It's rarely even reported in the nations, in like Norway and Sweden and Germany and France. But
yeah, they said in Austria it's up 500%.
Yeah,
rapes.
And that women are arming themselves, guns if they can find them, if not, knives, baseball bats. It's absolute war, people. But you know, over here, hey, Denver's playing tomorrow, and you know, are they going to the playoffs? Who knows? And Budweiser's on sale down at Safeway, and you know, that's what the Antichrist controlled media puts out. You know, oh, there's a new woman coming on The View. How's that going to be? We hope that, you know, we're going to do some studies and see how this new addition to The View works out. And you know, the people are just in a spell. The people here are asleep and oblivious to this absolute war and destruction that is going on. It's time to wake up.
Well, and it's interesting to see what's happened. You know, I mean, we talked about, let's just take for Sweden, for instance. You know, rape up 500%. Muslims make up about less than 7% of the population, but account for 95% of the rapes that are taking place nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, okay, come on, guys, let's think about that. I mean, you know, it's pretty obvious what's happening. Over in Germany, they're saying, you know, we're going to... You know, the threats were from the Muslim jihadists were telling the German guys, you know, is that we're going to take you over because we're going to rape your women, we're going to marry your women, and they're going to have our babies. And that's how this country will be ours. And they basically made threats. Interesting to note is what's happened is, and I've thought a lot about the poem, The Wrath of the Awakened, because if you look at what's happening now over in Sweden, with 9 refugee centers completely burned to the ground in the last 2 weeks and everybody in them killed, basically they're trying to send a message, hey, we don't want you here. No more Muslims. And I think that over there, you know, and it's hard to find it in the news, but it's happening. I mean, in 2 weeks, 9 of them have been completely burned to the ground, and they were large ones. And no one made it out alive, and they were all Muslims. And Swedes, they've had it. I mean, they've had it. And that's what they don't want. That's what they want to cover up in the news.
Yes.
That's what they don't want getting out, because something like that will be contagious.
Yes.
Especially to all these other countries that are neighboring, that are experiencing the same kind of problems. But, you know, what happened there, it was the wrath of the awakened. They had it, and they had all they could stand, and they could stand no more.
Amen.
And
amen.
it went in and killed the SOBs, and rightfully so.
Yes. Yes,
you know, and I was encouraged by that when I saw that, because they had enough. They had enough. They put down, you know, it was still illegal to do that. And it was, I'm sure it was against the government, but they had a love for their women. And I bet you a lot of those people that were, that took part in that had wives or daughters or friends that were, you know, that had been raped by these Muslims, you know, and they had it and they, you know, they took it and they took care of business. And that's what they did. You know, they had a love for their people. They had a love for their land, and they didn't want to see it polluted. You know, I'm not saying that now is the time to go out and do anything like that. By all means, you know, I don't want anybody to misquote me or anything like that. But, you know, I was encouraged by this because they had a hatred for them. They stood up. They took it. You know, and they did what they had to do. And they didn't worry about laying down, or, you know, about dying in the process of it.
Yep. And the Saxons begin to hate.
Yep.
I've got that poem right here.
I don't know.
And it's the copy of it that the pastor, because he has it taped to his broadcast rack. And we've updated the rack, but the poem that he had, and it, however long he had it, it's here. There's tape all over it. But it's short. If you guys don't mind, I'd be glad to read it. And it is. It's called The Wrath of the Awakened. And subtitled "The Day the Anglo-Saxon Began to Hate," and it is by Rudyard Kipling, who understood the Anglo-Israel message absolutely, as so many Christians did up through the 1800s. And here it is: it was not part of their blood; it came to them very late, with long arrears to make good, when the Saxons began to hate. They were not easily moved. They were icy willing to wait till every count should be proved ere the Saxons began to hate. Their voices were even and low, their eyes were level and straight. There was neither sign nor show when the Saxons began to hate. It was not preached to the crowd, it was not taught by the state. No man spoke it aloud when the Saxons began to hate. It was not suddenly bred, it will not swiftly abate, through the chilled years ahead, when time shall count from the date that the Saxons began to hate. Powerful.
Amen.
That time will return. It will.
Yeah.
It will happen.
I don't know, did you guys see? Do you see that there's a new movie coming out from... a documentary produced by a member of the Walt Disney Dynasty asked American Christian gun owners to surrender their firearms in exchange for Armor of Light. And the movie is going to be called Armor of Light. And it's Abigail Disney, the grandniece of Walt Disney. And basically it brings in this Reverend Rob Schneck. Imagine that.
Rob Schneck, who probably denies Jesus
Christ. He's telling everybody that if you're pro-life, then you have to give your guns up and trade them in for the armor of light.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is there'll be a lot of dumb Christians out there.
There will be. You know, and if they would just, they don't need to go to a movie by Disney. If they would read their Bible, read the Word. You know, we're reading, we put out a Bible reading course this year, and... you know, maybe we'll put another one out next year to encourage, to remind the people, to invigorate them to read the Bible. You know, Jesus Christ himself said, hey, if you don't have a sword, you sell your robe and get one. You know, that's what he told his apostles. And they said, look, Lord, here's two. I know you hate to hear this, Jason. But he said, look, Lord, here's two. And Jesus said, that's enough. And, you know, of course, I don't think any of us have paid.
That's the part I usually get amnesia.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have. I think it's two because you have two hands, I think is how that applies to today. But those are the words of Jesus Christ. And, you know, one part of the scripture is no more important than another. It is all Holy Spirit inspired. It is all for us, for our learning, for our edification, for our protection. It certainly is. And so, folks, read your Bible. You know, our Isaiah 52, awake, awake, put on your strength. I've got an amplified Bible this morning. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Put on your beautiful garments. What is that? Well, if you look over into Galatians 3, and right here in Galatians 3, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Those are the beautiful garments. Awake, awake, America. Wake up. Wake up to the sin in your life. Wake up to the sin in your land. Wake up and realize that when you see, God is warning you by showing you what is going on in the nations that you came from. He is showing you what is happening over in Europe, how these ungodly, antichrist Muslim hordes are coming in, raping, killing, destroying, stealing. And he's showing you this, America, so that you have time to repent, you have time to wake up, as Isaiah 52 says, and you have time to clothe yourselves, to be baptized into Christ, to clothe yourselves in Christ. And so then, if you will do that, guess what? 2 Chronicles 7:14, then if my people, who are called by my name, and that name is Christians today, not Jews that deny that Jesus is the Christ. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. But he ain't going to do it until his people do what the word says. It's as simple as that. That's that revival that, John, I think you mentioned earlier, that's needed. And it is a revival of repentance. A revival of Isaiah 52. Awake, awake, America. Wake up. You know, our pastor preached that for 33 plus years. Wake up. Wake up. And that was the role of the prophet, was to tell the people who they were. Because all through the Old Testament, that's what would happen. Back then, it was only a couple generations, and the people were worshiping the gods of the Amorites and the Canaanites and had forgotten who they came from. And that was the role of the prophet then, was to come in and tell the people who they were and to remind them who their God was and to show them the law that, and the words that were written before that said, this is what God Almighty says. And you know, that's certainly what our pastor did. Was he showed the people, and he's put it out, and it continues to go out because of the faithful remnant. The message of who his people are and who this new Jerusalem. Have you ever seen that in your Bible, folks? You know, the old Jerusalem is gone. The new Jerusalem the Bible speaks about is not the old Jerusalem. Not by any means. Not by any means. But that new holy city. That is part of, it has the people that came maybe from that old Jerusalem. But look at the word Jerusalem, Jerusa. See, that's a hidden nugget. That's a clue. Anyway. Wake up, people, before it's too late.
Jason, did you see that there was three Chinese warships that docked in Florida?
No, I did not.
In Mayport, Florida.
I knew that they said that there was going to be some traveling in, because basically I think that's part of that new Trans-Pacific Partnership thing that's taking place.
Well, yeah, this was some sort of celebration. So because they brought in their big dragon floats and their people dressed festively, we just allowed three warships. These are destroyers. And anyway, so, sure, maybe not this time they come in peace, but what about the next time?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and haven't the Chinese bought up...
What they like to do, they come in and they they want people to see it and get comfortable seeing them coming into our harbor, seeing them as our friends. I mean,
exactly.
You know, that's what that's the way it works.
Yeah. Didn't they buy a whole lot of the shipping ports and the harbors in San Francisco? I don't know about San Francisco, but in California, haven't we reported on that in the past that the Chinese have bought ports in California?
Yeah, I think they have.
Oh yeah.
So there's the West Coast.
Majority of them now.
There's the West Coast, and now they come in on Florida, the East Coast. You know that's from sea to shining sea. We know the Chinese are very comfortable with the Mexicans, and the Mexicans are very comfortable with the Chinese, and they have a great presence down in Mexico. And so that's the South. And we've reported to you what some of our men have reported from Canada, how so many of the Orientals have moved into Canada that many of their signs are now in Chinese and English. So there's the North.
We've got them all around us. We can shoot in any direction and hit them.
Yep. What was that, Chesty Puller or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, you look at what's happening in this. I mean, the Obama administration just released the full text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, okay, who knows what the Trans-Pacific Partnership is? I don't. The interesting thing is I saw a really good analogy of what is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and they said, well, basically, you're trying to, okay, and I think of it like this. We're trying to read the Bible, and that's difficult to read it in a year. I mean, and they say that on average, the Bible is 1,746 pages. The Trans-Pacific Partnership that was just released is 5,544 pages, 2,056,560 words. It is 3.18 times the size of the Bible.
Wow.
Now tell me, how many people you really think are out there that actually read this thing?
That's why. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just like Obamacare.
I mean, so you take Obamacare. I mean, when that came out, the Affordable Health Care Act was 961 pages. The Trans Partnership is almost six times larger than that. And there wasn't one senator, governor, congressman, anything out there that read the Affordable Health Care Act. And this is literally six times the size of that one. So I keep asking myself, what's buried in there? I mean, basically, there's got to be a whole lot of stuff buried in there. And, you know, they say that, you know, the government, if you look at what they say about this Trans-Pacific Partnership, they said that it writes rules for global trade rules that will help increase Made in America exports, grow the American economy, support well-paying American jobs, and strengthen the American middle class. And what I've seen as far as it is completely 180 degrees from that.
Yes.
It is going to destroy Made in America exports. It's going to destroy American economy. It's going to destroy the well-paying American jobs. It's going to weaken the American middle class. I mean, just a little bit that I've looked in it, that's what I have seen in it. I mean, and basically they want to take in what the products that we are making here in the United States, send them overseas, cheaper prices, and, you know, basically that's what stealing is. You know, they want to bring more products in at cheaper prices. You know, it's messed up when you can ship a product that's made here in the United States, when somebody in Germany or France or China can buy it cheaper than we can buy it in our own country. And it's messed up when we can buy some of, you know, this go to Walmart and buy this China garbage cheaper than they can buy it over there.
Yeah.
And is what they're doing is that's a form of thievery. It's stealing.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Did you guys see this Operation Northwoods exposed? I guess it was declassified in 1997. 1962 documents can be used to help put the pieces of the puzzle together for those having a difficult time understanding state-sponsored terror and perceived terror. And then it says, in these documents, the Northwoods exposed from the 60s, it has been officially revealed via declassified government documents that the U.S. military and government has covertly planned to perpetrate acts of terror upon innocent civilians in order to justify an engagement in a conflict that would have at the time benefited the government's wider geopolitical agenda. According to ABC News in the early 60s, America's top military leaders reportedly drafted plans to kill innocent people and commit acts of terrorism in the U.S. cities to create public support for a war against Cuba. Long-hidden documents uncovered in 2001 by former ABC News investigator reporter James Bamford, codenamed Operation Northwoods, put a haunting perspective behind the events of September 11th. The Joint Chiefs of Staff document, purpose of intending war against Cuba. These sickening plans called for innocent American civilians to be shot, for Cuban refugees to be blown up, for violent and continued acts of terrorism to be perpetrated in major American cities, for innocents to be framed for bombings, and for planes to be hijacked. This would be blamed on Fidel Castro in Cuba, thus inciting hatred for him and communism and instigating the public backing of the JCS needed as an excuse to launch a pre-planned war. Boy, if that don't tell it all.
It does, and it highlights what our pastor taught for years and years, that there are rules of warfare. And one of the rules that our enemy has, that God has put upon them, is they have to tell us what they're going to do, one way or another, or either what they have done. And, you know, so we see that from two generations ago, that they were going to kill people, you know, blame innocents to stir up hatred for an enemy. And we have seen that. We have seen that in the accusations that were leveled at our pastor for years and years from big, you know, things like Newsweek and 48 Hours. You know, we see that today, how the Christians are being bombarded. And you know, it's the Christians that are becoming the criminal, that are being called intolerant. When it's the Antichrist that are intolerant of the Christians. And to me, it ties right in with, Jason, that Trans-Pacific Partnership that you're talking about. That it, you know, it's what our enemy does. They tell you what they're going to do. And, you know, if you can dig through that four, however many million worded document, 5,000-page document of that Trans-Pacific Partnership, it probably says in there that we will welcome anything and everything from the foreign countries in here. It's what our enemy does. They tell us what they're going to do, but as we read in Isaiah, the people are asleep, so why not tell them? You know, I get accused sometimes, you know, the wife's talking to me at night, and I fall right asleep, and she's talking. If I'm asleep, I don't hear what she's saying, and that's how our people are. They're asleep.
Yeah,
and they don't hear, and for the most part, they don't care. They just don't care. It's like, hey, is Budweiser on sale? And what time's that game tomorrow?
But the good news is the parable of the wheat and the tares is being fulfilled as well, and the tares are becoming bold and brazen. And I read an article this week as well. Justice Kennedy to Christians, resign or uphold the law. Justice Anthony Kennedy feels that if faithful Christians don't like his usurping of their rights to define marriages between one man and one woman, then they should quit their jobs if they happen to hold public office. In other words, I am king, now do what I say, or else. And as he was speaking to a Harvard law students, he cited Christians resigning under Hitler's regime in order to drive home his point that if one has a moral conviction against an immoral law, this is his words, then that person needs to pack his or her bags and leave. And then he said, quote, how many judges do you think resigned in the Third Reich? Justice Kennedy asked his audience. Three. So, I mean, they're not even hiding it anymore.
No. No, it's
he's basically saying that we are king. You will do what we say, or you will be persecuted.
It's that time of the time of harvest draws near. It does. The Bible talks about it in many ways. The last days, the judgment day, and you know, you get the choice. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. If God be God, serve him. Yep. If Baal, serve him. Hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, the term that people understand, come hell or high water. But it's a choice, and you make that choice. You truly do. You make that choice. Well, guys, the phone lines were quiet this morning, and we're just about out of time. Want to invite you to church tomorrow. Yeah, the red light was on, but that's okay, and we're broadcasting out. So we thank everybody for joining us this morning. We do invite you to church with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. Come to scriptures4america.org and tune in, and you can do that by clicking on the live video stream starting at those times tomorrow morning, on Sunday morning. And it'll also be broadcast out on the shortwave. And so there's many ways you can join us at church. We hope that you do. We do. Going to go out with a song by Carl Klang. It's a song he put together. It's called Psalms 83. I think it certainly applies. Thanks a lot, man. See you at church tomorrow.
Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, Almighty One. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom. The men of Moab with Hagarines are there. See Jebel Amalek with men of Ammon. Behold Philistia and them of Tyre. For Asher too has come and joins their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated. And they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb make their chiefs their lords, like Zeba, who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the woods, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your storms and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation. And let them seek your name. Let them be terrified and shamed forever. And let them be dismayed and be destroyed. Let them know you alone, you are the one most high o'er all the earth.
rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling,